Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. So welcome to the wonderful city of Houston, Texas. I'm sitting here watching Houston take the World Series Game 5 here, 2-0 right now. I'll keep you updated on the score as we go through the show. But this is just going to be an awesome evening. I am so excited about the show tonight, and we do apologize for the intro and the outro and the commercials tonight. They will not be in the system until they go into the podcast world. The entire radio station in California is on generators, so we're just working on limited electricity. But I want to let you know the power that we're going to have in this show tonight is just going to be phenomenal. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy what the program is going to be this evening. And I have been looking forward to this for a very long time. Want you to get out a pen or a pencil and a notepad, because we're going to give you some good information this evening that you're going to want to write down. First of all, we want to give you the phone number, since Douglas didn't have a chance to do that on the intro. The phone number to call live in tonight with any comments, any questions, is going to be 888-627-6008. Again, that is 888-627-6008. And my emails, my text are absolutely going off the numbers tonight of people that is commenting already and telling me that they're excited about this show and looking forward to talking and listening and being with us tonight. I want to let you know that next week, our guest is going to be Carol and Robert Teitelbaum. For sure, Carol's going to be here, and hopefully we'll talk her husband in, Robert, to be with us too. And she's a licensed marriage and family therapist out in Palm Desert, California. And Carol and Robert literally do conferences around this country. And she is a wonderful counselor. But they are making a difference, and we're going to be talking to her next week specifically about a conference that she did just a few weeks ago, and hopefully I'm going to get involved with them and be able to speak on the circuits with them. But it's a conference called It Happens to Boys, and it's powerful. It is powerful, and I think the keynote speaker at this last week or two conferences she just had was Dave Peltzer of A Child Called It. And I believe John Lee was with them too, with the Flying Boy book. So both of those are just great people. But Carol's going to be with us next week, so we want to make sure you make a point of that to listen in next week with Carol Teitelbaum. Now, I want to let you know that I am in awe tonight of the guests that we have. And Jane Stevens is the founder and publisher of ACES Connection. And right now, I want everybody to write this down for all the listeners that's listening around the world, acesconnection.com. It is a family of people, a family of friends of doctors, therapists, community leaders, teachers, social workers, nurses, and I can just go on and on and on, of people that I have connected with, and they encourage me each and every day to keep on keeping on. I even got just a comment just a few minutes ago from Terry Wilbrook. Terry is out in Ohio. And Terry, I want you on the show in a couple weeks, if you can, a few weeks. I want to reach out to you and ask you to come and be a guest. I was a guest on her podcast not too long ago, and it was just awesome. And it's the kind of support that Jane's going to explain more about it, because she's the founder. But I just want to let you know, Jane Stevens is the founder and publisher of ACES Connection, which is a social network, acesconnection.com, and the news site called aces2high.com. So make sure you write that down too, aces2high.com. And she has been a health, science, and technology journalist for over 35 years. She has worked for newspapers, magazines, and TV stations. Her articles have appeared in the Boston Globe, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, and even the National Geographic. And she began reporting about the CDC, Kaiser Permanente, Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, in 2005. It was kind of interesting. The Astros just hit a home run an inning or two ago, and when the ball went over the outfield fence, there was an advertisement there for Kaiser Permanente, and I thought, wow, what? This is awesome. It's all over California. And she's going to tell you all about that and the other four parts of the ACE of Science in 2005. She's lived in Kenya, Indonesia. She's been to the Antarctic three times on reporting fellowships. And I just want to pause and literally applaud a champion, Jane Stevens. And Jane, welcome to Breaking the Silence tonight. It is an honor to have you on our program. Jane, are you there?
I am here, Greg. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. You're very kind.
Well, that'll cost you $5. Just send me the check, will you? Well, Jane, it's an honor to have you here tonight, and I follow you. I read your blogs and your posts and the work that you do on ACES Connection. And to be honest with you, and I'm being serious as a heart attack, I promote ACES Connection every time I speak. About the third or fourth sentence in whatever talk that I'm giving, I talk about you and your network, and your webpage and the work that you guys are doing. I am overwhelmed, and I want to find out so much about how you got this involved in ACES Connection, how you even came up with the idea. But just welcome, and just grab a cup of coffee, and Jane, we're just going to have a nice talk tonight, and the entire hour is ours. We'll take a little short 30-second or minute music breaks, and then when it goes into podcast next week, they'll plug in the commercials, because the radio station's on generators, so don't let that stumble us tonight. We're just going to talk and have a great time. First of all, Jane, number one, I guess I need to congratulate you on winning an award. What was that, in Minnesota the other day?
It was indeed in Minnesota. It was the Academy of Violence and Abuse, which is has been around for a very long time, and I received their first Changemaker Award, which was really unexpected and wonderful.
Well, you deserve that, and we applaud you for being a champion. And Carrie Sipes, which is a dear friend of mine, and you know Carrie. I know she's a dear friend of yours too, has told me so much about you, and it's just an honor to get to hear from you and discuss and just find out all of this stuff tonight about who you are, what you've done, and what you're fixing to do and what you're excited about. So in all of this, as I read your bio, and I know a little bit about you, and I've watched almost every interview that you've done, with the one with Avaya University the other day. That was an awesome interview, by the way, you did with Andy. Just a great, job. You've been a journalist over now 40 years, so you must have started, what, when you were 5 years old?
Maybe seven, around there.
Okay. And, you know, in the science, health, and technology world as a journalist for most of that time, when do you think the seeds or even the thought of covering adverse childhood experiences were even planted? How did that even come into play as we begin this awesome conversation tonight?
Well, there were three things that throughout probably 20 years that had me going on this path. And the first one, I was very fortunate to live in Bali, Indonesia for a while. And I happened to see a dad who was having some issues with his son. They had just gotten back from a long trip to the U.S., and it's a 21-hour flight back to Bali from then. And I actually heard him the next morning when they got up, heard the son fussing, and dad raised his voice. The dad's name is Made. And I thought, you know, I haven't heard that too often in Bali. And then the son kept fussing some more, and then I heard this whop, you know, like he hit him, not really hard, but the kid, and I'd never heard that at least in the part of Bali that I was in. And right. And so they went off to, you know, work in school, and then later that day, a friend and I were walking into the compound where we lived. Made's house is right next door, and there are bamboo walls so you could hear everything. And and he looked like he'd lost his best friend, and we just stopped and we said, "Made, what's wrong?" And he said, "I did a very bad thing today." Well, my friend had also heard him hit his child, but we didn't want to say anything about it. And we said, "Well, you know, what happened, or what did you do?" And he said, "Well, I went to the doctor," and our jaws dropped. And we said, "You went to the doctor, and what did the doctor tell you?" And the doctor said, "Made eats cucumbers three times a day and lay off meat for 3 weeks." And of course, there are estrogens and cucumbers, and there are androgens in meat, but not enough to change behavior. So, but a light bulb went on for me, because what had happened is that he realized, even though it was his kid who was fussing, the little six-year-old boy, because he was jet-lagged, it was Made's fault because of how he reacted. He's the adult. He should have helped his child, not yelled at him or hit him. And right. Then he went to the doctor, and the doctor didn't say, "I'm going to call child welfare services." He said, you know, "Don't do it again, and here's some things to, you know, do this, and this will help you." And essentially what it was doing was reminding him every time that he ate a cucumber and every time that he wanted meat and couldn't have it, that he needed to think about this. And then he was telling everybody about it, including us, and getting advice on how to control himself, how to regulate himself. And by doing so, helping teach his son how to self-regulate. So mm-hmm. I thought, you know, they're Homo sapiens, we're Homo sapiens. If they can do it, we can do it. Because I had been doing some reporting about violence epidemiology. And one thing that had confused me pretty much from the get-go when researchers were looking into why some people committed violence and others didn't, and particularly looking at that time at gang violence, I wanted to know why maybe a kid in the family who had three siblings and lived in the, they all grew up and those the same parents in the same neighborhood. why one kid shot somebody and then was shot himself, and the other three didn't. The explanation in the 80s, when violence epidemiology was first recognized, the explanation was, well, they escaped, and that just didn't make sense to me.
Right.
So forward a little bit more, and I learn about the ACE study.
Yeah.
And suddenly everything just clicked, you know, and I'm sure you had that experience too.
Yeah.
And I realized that, oh, the other three didn't escape. You know, one may have engaged in violence as a way of coping with the ACEs that they had in their family. One may have started drinking or using other drugs. Another may have started overeating as a way of coping. And another may have become an overachiever. And that was a way of coping as well. And the fallout from that could have been an early heart attack, little engagement with the family because they overwork or they're workaholic, and passing on neglect that they may have experienced from in their own family onto their kids. So it was a many-year progression, but it was every one of those locked into me deciding eventually to set up ACEs Connection and ACEs Too High.
Yeah. Okay, now, Jane, the show is called Breaking the Silence, okay? And I picked that name because once I broke my own personal silence and started telling people about what was going on all of my childhood up to almost my 17th birthday, that's when healing started coming into my life. I just want to put you on the spot, and we don't have pre-rehearsed discussion here. Is there a story? Here you are, a well-known journalist. Is there a personal story behind why you are interested in people finding out more about adverse childhood experiences? Is there something deeper than you just wanting to do something good for people? Is there something that is personal with you?
Oh, definitely. I'm sure that what propelled me to want to learn about violence epidemiology was, you know, the why of that, and then keeping exploring about, well, what happened to the other people, other siblings in that family, because my own family was extraordinarily dysfunctional, and I didn't understand that completely until I learned about the ACE study. You know, suddenly my life made sense, and subsequent to that, as I've gone around and told as many people as I could about ACEs science, first when I started ACEs Connection, it was pretty clear to me that for people who also had a similar experience, you know, I have seven ACEs at least.
Oh wow!
And I knew that, and like I say, explained my life pretty completely. But what it does for people, as I have seen, as people learn about this and start then being able to heal themselves, is that it opens the door, because a lot of people, when they go through things that happen to them, they think that they're at fault.
And
I certainly did. You know, I thought that the sexual abuse that I was experiencing was because I did something wrong.
Right.
And I couldn't even put words to neglect, because you know, if you're experiencing something that isn't being talked about, and you can't really, there's no place to talk about it, how do you describe it? And it wasn't until, you know, decades later that I was able to. But the powerful thing about this knowledge, this science, is that it shows that we weren't born bad, that the things that happened to us as children, we had absolutely no control over. Third, it, the ways that we coped were appropriate, given that we were given no other ways, no other healthy ways to cope. So, you know, smoking cigarettes is a great coping behavior because nicotine actually reduces anxiety. Methamphetamines, a great coping behavior because it addresses depression and helps people from being depressed. Now, I say great coping behavior, but the long-term effects aren't so good. I mean, it'd be a much better world if we had, and that's what I'm sure all of us are striving for, if we had everybody learn healthy coping behaviors and then eventually not passing on our ACEs. And that brings up the fourth piece of this, which is that we learn we can change. Yeah. And it may be small changes. It may take a couple decades. I myself am still learning and changing, and I hope that continues until I die.
Now, Jane, you mentioned, you know, nicotine and methamphetamines. Were those your coping mechanisms? Was that what helped you deal with what you were going through in your personal trauma?
I would say that my coping mechanisms were cocaine and sex.
And sex. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was an abuse of that? Did it become something that overtook you and you saw damage from that in the long haul of how you handled what you dealt with?
Well, I started doing cocaine when at least it was in the 80s and early 80s when that was, it was spread around a lot. And, and the myth at the beginning was that, oh, it's not addictive. Well, when my mouth started watering, when I thought about it, I thought, no, time to give this up.
Right.
So, until I got to that point, it really did relieve my depression, and I did like it. But like I said, I didn't. When that happened, I thought this is not good. I don't really want to be addicted to anything. And the sex part, that was a little harder to unwind or unravel because that's also, it was also the time when, you know, it wasn't frowned upon to have a lot of sexual partners. I don't think that I mean, I didn't go overboard with it like I've heard when I started looking into it that some people do, but it still wasn't healthy for me. The relationships weren't healthy. And, and I think that part of the of using sex as an escape was more of a sense of trying to get control of my sexual being because I'd had no control when I was a child.
Wow. You know, there's a lot of meat on that bone that we could really take time to pick off every piece because there's a lot. Because of what had happened to you traumatically, the experiences that you've had, it caused you to turn to several different things that you knew over the long haul was going to damage you more. So how did you overcome and bring everything full circle to be able to say, hey, here I am now? And of course we all are, and I know I am every day, Jane, still learning how to cope. I think there's good days, bad days, good weeks, bad weeks, and we still slip. But how did you actually climb out of that and turn everything positive?
I think it was certainly due to my understanding of the ACE study. The other piece of the ACE study that I think is critical for people to understand is that it's people usually don't have just one ACE. You know, if there's one, right. there's an 87% chance that there are more
yes.
than one. And just because you have, say that you have an addiction to cocaine, it doesn't mean that that's something that has been was passed on from my parents or that I would pass on to my child.
Right.
What was found out, which I thought was pretty interesting, is that trauma doesn't equal violence. You know, in the ACE study, violence is just one part, one type of many types of childhood trauma.
Right.
You know, which includes many more than the original ACE study. You know, racism and bullying and things like that. But what was so interesting is that one type of violence is not more or less damaging than another. When the brain experiences, when the child experiences toxic stress from some sort of abuse, that goes into the brain, and the brain can't differentiate between living with a parent who's an alcoholic or divorced or being yelled at nearly every day of your childhood or emotional neglect. It's just toxic stress.
Yeah, it's just trauma to the brain. Yeah.
It's just trauma to the brain. So, in fact, the ACE study measured a whole range of outcomes, emotional, social, financial, biomedical. And if somebody had a score of 2 or 4 or 7, it didn't matter how you made the ACE score up. And that was very unexpected. So what brings me to this is that I first started dealing with my childhood sexual abuse, and that seemed like the most important thing to me. But once I grappled with that, I realized, oh no, there are many more ACEs that I had to deal with, and
yeah.
one was neglect, and what. How that manifested itself is I felt great betrayal from my parents because I wasn't getting what I needed, you know, growing up. And I think that's very common. So the betrayal piece, which is a feeling you get from when you have emotional neglect, I had to deal with that. So there are other things. And so you're working through things. But I think it's really important for people to understand that if there's one, there's likely to be more than one, and you're going to have to work on all these things. And
yeah.
as a society, just to focus on child abuse child sex abuse or child neglect or things like that to the exclusion of others, it'll never work to get rid of that. Because, as I mentioned earlier, you may have someone who has is a pedophile in the family, and then and abuses a child. But that child the ACE that actually shows up. The manifestation that may not be passing on child sex abuse. It might be becoming an alcoholic and passing that on to a child. So that's why it's important to understand that there's this group of types of child abuse and deal with all of them.
Yeah. Jane, this is awesome. We're going to take just a short little musical break right now just so when we deal with Apple and Google and all these podcasts next week, they really liked for us to have breaks. So we're going to take a little 30 to 45 second break. We'll catch our breath a little bit, have a nice drink of water, and we'll be back in about 45 seconds. You're listening to Breaking the Silence. We have Jane Stevens with us tonight, an awesome guest, and we're going to continue on right after this short break.
HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Fantastic. I just want to let you know that Houston's up 4-0, so you're not missing anything besides another victory for Houston tonight. You're listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Just call me Greg, and you can call in tonight at 888-627-6008. I want to let you know that the numbers are coming in, and this is the highest numbered show all day long on the entire network, and they're telling me, the producer, is that the numbers are going up leaps and bounds as we talk, and it is because of our guest. Our guest is Jane Stevens, and she has founded this awesome network. And I really want everybody right now to write down acesconnection.com, and I want you also to be able to go online and join ACES Connection. And right now, let's just see how many of our listeners are actually listening, and go in and join the network. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You're going to find out so much information about ACES, and I would really love for tonight ACES Connection to get so many subscribers. And Jane, we're just going to try to, and I'm doing this because I believe in your work, and I applaud you. We have a caller on line one, and we're going to take a caller right now. Jane, is that okay with you?
That's fine by me.
Okay, Kayla, come on in. What's your comment question tonight? How are you?
Well, I was just wondering, what is the best way that a teacher could help a child who might suspect that there's ACEs? Because a lot of times the school is the only safe place for a child.
Good question. Jane?
Yes, often a school is the only safe place for a child, and I can speak from personal experience about that. I think that educating yourself about ACES science would be the best way to go. On ACES Connection, there is a separate community called ACES in Education, and there's all kinds of resources on there, books and training and workshops, all kinds of things. Plus, you connect with the other more than 1,000 teachers and educators on that site. Something that I think is important in looking at kids is, I don't think you need to know, a teacher needs to know what has happened so much as it is how to deal with a child who is either acting out or withdrawing or running away. Those are all the manifestations of trauma in a child. And to be able to understand that when a child is in those states, that they can't really think too well. They're just in a panic mode. And to help bring them down and to help teach them to self-regulate.
Fantastic. So they're just in survival
mode,
right,
Jane?
Yeah. Kayla, that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yes,
thank
it sure
you
did
so
because,
much.
You know, I'm... Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead, Kayla.
Go ahead, Kayla.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's just that I have an opportunity to speak before some teachers, and I have talked recently with a first grade teacher who has a child that is so disruptive, and she has tried everything, and the mother had said, well, my daughter's the kind of kid that'll make a parent go to drugs.
Oh, my.
And that's the mother saying it. And, so this child does not have any help. And, you know, and I just felt so sorry for my niece who was talking about having to deal with this poor child who is really acting out. They have a special aide staying with this child. And even this aide who has worked with kids in high school and everything else, she goes, she wears me out. I'm done. Because she's just so high-strung, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of help for her. And so that's why I was trying to think if there was some avenues to help the teachers.
Yeah, there are. And, in fact, there are quite a few schools now that are becoming what they call trauma-informed, and they've trained the teachers and the counselors and also are teaching the kids how to be self-regulated. And the best schools that are doing this are the ones that are also bringing parents in and saying, you know, your kid is having some troubles, and that usually means there's troubles in the family. How can we help you? Because ACEs are passed on from parent to child.
Fantastic. Hey, Kayla,
I just myself recently joined ACEs because Greg told me about it, and so I can't wait to delve into it more. Thank you so much for your help.
Great. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Kayla. Okay, now let's get in, Jane, let's just dive in and dig into ACEs Connection. For a lot of our listeners, they've never heard of ACEs, and you've cleared that up pretty good tonight, and you gave us a good introduction on that. But what is ACEs Connection? What is this beautiful creation that you came up with, and how can we be part of that, and what can it do for us? So tell us about ACEs Connection.
Sure. So ACEs Connection is essentially the social network for the ACEs movement, and it has more than 37,000 people on there. And it's a community of practice social network, so it means it's less like Facebook, which is mostly discussion, and more like, you know, engaging people who are doing something in their geographic community or in their work or in their volunteering to integrate this new knowledge into everything they're doing.
Yeah.
We like to think that we are helping communities to solve our most intractable problems, and the way we do that is through ACEs Connection. On ACEs Connection, we also have a lot of communities, and they're sort of like mini ACEs Connections within ACEs Connection, and we have about 300 of those so far. All around, mostly in the U.S., but in other parts of the world as well. And then we have, we strive very strongly to be the information resource for the ACEs movement. We don't capture every single thing, obviously, because it's really growing like Topsy now. But we have a lot of things like the ACEs, latest ACEs science and resilience building news, research, and reports. We have the ACE and resilience surveys on there. We have a thing called Ask the Community, so members can help each other find what they're looking for. And it's a pretty wonderful organization, mainly because of what you said at the very beginning, is it really feels like people are there to support each other. We monitor the network very carefully, so that there's no cyber abuse. We want people to feel safe on there, and we also want them very much to take what everybody has put on there and use it. I have a wonderful team of people, about 15, 16 people who work with me on this. And they are scattered across the country, and they are doing fabulous work. Couldn't do any of this without them.
Yeah, the information that is on this site is just phenomenal. And one thing that I really am starting to enjoy, Jane, with it, is that it's not just for doctors, social workers, therapists. It can be people that are involved in schools, in communities, in churches, faith organizations. And it's just an awesome place where everybody can get together and join hands and learn from each other. And when I'm actually at the conferences, I'll have an ACES Connection booth. Carrie sends me your tablecloth, and I actually promote y'all. And I basically say, if you need, let's say, a PowerPoint presentation, and you're doing a presentation for a teacher's conference, and you need help with that, you get on there and just say, help. And people out of the woodwork will come in and send you information of saying, hey, I just found this, I just done this. It's just a wonderful family of friends. And what you have created is something absolutely beautiful, and I cannot promote it enough. It is just a wonderful network of people.
Well, thank you for saying that. And one of the things that keeps us going is what people are doing with this knowledge, and we make sure to spread that around because it's so inspirational. Can I give you a few examples of remarkable things that happen?
Please.
Okay. There's a health clinic in Pueblo, Colorado that saw a 30% drop in visits to the emergency room after they integrated ACES Science. There's a juvenile detention facility in San Diego. It was built from the ground up to be trauma-informed, and it had no violent incidents during its first year of operation. None. That's unheard of. There's a family physician in Tennessee who integrated ACES Science into his practice, and most of his patients were addicted to opioids. And the result of that was that 99% of his patients, more than 1,200, are able to hold down a job, which is a marker of recovery. There's a batter intervention program in Bakersfield, California, that saw recidivism rates fall from 60% to 6%. And there's a remarkable program in Plymouth County, Massachusetts, that combines the police department or the sheriff's department, the health community, and the rehab services. And what they do is, once someone overdoses and they recover and go home, a police officer visits the next day, and this is, you know, the police officer gets the name from the hospital, and drops in, you know, usually plain clothes, and says, you know, we have a spot for you in a rehab clinic, and we can take you right now, and how about I drive you over and I treat you to dinner on the way?
Wow!
So they take a completely non-traumatic approach to this, and they understand that people are doing this not because they like opioids, it's because they're having problems. But the upshot of it was that in 2017 to 2018, Plymouth County saw a 26% drop in opioid deaths, while all the counties around them saw an 84% increase.
Now that's phenomenal.
Yep.
And
this
think
is phenomenal knowledge.
Do you feel that the trauma-informed approach that we're trying to do with Baylor College of Medicine, Texas Children's Hospital, and they are doing this, the trauma-informed approach is the way that all of our communities needs to go to be able to resolve and help and protect and not only help people that have dealt with ACEs, but maybe help prevent ACEs from ever happening in the first place?
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. There's just one caveat I would have. I do know that there are some programs and some organizations that have started to become trauma-informed, but they never look at ACEs science. you know, an ACEs science is the epidemiology of ACEs, which is essentially ACE study and all the subsequent ACE studies that have occurred. There is the neurobiology of toxic stress, you know, what mm-hmm. happens to little kids' brains on toxic yeah. stress. There's the health consequences, both short and long term, which you know about only yeah. too intimately. And then there's the how this historical trauma, the epigenetic piece of this passed on from generation to generation, because toxic stress affects epigenetics, our genes as well. And the fifth piece is the optimistic piece and the solutions oriented piece and the wonderful piece, which is the resilient science that actually shows that you can change. And the examples that I just gave show that, you know, very clearly that this can change. But I do know that there are some programs that say, no, we're just going to start with the trauma-informed piece, which doesn't, I don't think, is going to be long-lasting. You know, my goal in this is to have this integrated into everyday life, no matter what you're doing, so that it's like electricity. We only notice it when it's gone.
Yeah. You know, when I started speaking after my book came out last year, I would stand up in front of a group and say, how many people have ever heard of ACEs? And very few people raised their hand. Even the last few months, when I was out in Newport Beach just a few weeks ago speaking, maybe 10 people in a room that was crammed packed full of people raised their hand. When I speak this coming Friday, I'm going to ask the same question. But I believe that we are on the cutting edge, are we not, Jane, of it going absolutely where there's not going to be a person on the face of the planet, at least in the United States, that hasn't heard of this, because it is to where everybody, I think the iron is hot right now, and this is going to explode because it's so impactful.
I agree with you. I think, you know, everybody, it really is a way to solve, you know, to reduce drastically suicide and violence and poverty and all those things. And I also think that it's, I think, you know, a long time ago, Jimmy Carter said that he thought that there should be a mental health exam for presidents. And I think that actually that I don't think you need that. I think that you can probably do, examine people's ACEs and their protective factors or resilience scores and get a pretty good idea of where they are. I know yeah. that there's a world history class that is looking into, in Washington State, I think, that's looking into the ACE scores of leaders in history. So Hitler's were way up there. Saddam Hussein's were way up there. I mean, it's important, I think, for us to integrate this into leadership so that it doesn't become a them-us thing, that it right. is. ACEs are part of, everybody has ACEs or knows somebody who has ACEs or is affected by ACEs. So it's not a them-us thing. It's a all of us thing.
Right, I agree. Tell you what, we're going to take one more little short break to allow everybody to get the commercial in when we go into the podcast world. So we'll take a 30 to 40 second break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Breaking the Silence.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book, describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right. Well, welcome to the last segment of the evening show, Breaking the Silence. We have Jane Stevens with acesconnection.com and aces2high.com, the founder of both of these wonderful networks. And you want to make sure you get on tonight and join acesconnection.com. We have a caller in. So, Jane, let's jump right back in to believe it's David on line two. David, are you with us tonight?
Sure.
Good evening, David. What's your question or comment?
Most, if not all, of the 10 original adverse childhood experiences are associated with unsupportive, harmful parenting. I was wondering if both of you can speak to the importance of proactive parenting education as a tool to prevent ACEs 5, 10, 15, 50 years down the road.
Great question, David. Jane, I'll let you jump in on that one first.
Sure. I think it's really important, and there's actually quite a bit of work that's being done in parent education about this. What's really interesting is I did a story on one organization that was doing parenting education, and what they found was a complete shift in their understanding of what their kids were doing when they had a tantrum or were acting out or whatever. The parents thought that the kids were just trying to piss them off. And when they understood brain science, they go, oh, now I understand, and especially when they understood their own ACEs, that the combination of those two things, they understood that their kids were just having troubles. And what that did for the parents was to, they wanted to learn what they could do to not pass on ACEs to their children. And so they engaged more in the in learning how to self-regulate and learning how to be more aware of when they were about to lose it and to walk away themselves, you know, because they, you know, most parents really do love their children, want the best for them. And so I think that when they understand what's happening, they'll make changes.
Yeah, you know, David, When I speak at the groups, I always mention that, you know, in this country, if I wanted to become a barber or a beautician, I would have to have a license to cut your hair. If I want to become a parent in this country, all I have to do is find somebody goofy enough to have a child with me. There's no rules or regulations or mandated parenting that we actually try to encourage our parents to go to before they have children. And I think that's something where we really are lacking here. We really need parent training out there to show the parents, first of all, about these studies, but also to how to handle stress, how to love your child in the right way, how to discipline, how not to discipline. And I believe when we become community-informed, trauma-informed communities, and we really start caring about each other, we can bring the bar up another level of what our country should expect of our parents. And I think somehow we have let the parents down. Here's your kid. Have a good time. We have to, I have advocated for years, schools should be for the kids during the day, and they should be for the parents during the night. We need to get them in there to teach and train and support with these different advocacy groups and teach our parents how to be top-notch parents to protect them. So these ACEs, we have to break the cycle somewhere. And I think training and support's the best way to do that.
Dr. Politi, the co-author of the ACE study, often talks about the primary provision of ACEs through a new kind of parenting education, one that reaches everyone, everywhere, all the time. And perhaps he's someone that you should have on your program. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, David. Appreciate it. Okay, Jane,
I think that's a great idea, and I just wanted to add one more thing about besides parenting education, is you really need to give parent support, and we don't have that in this country, and that's for everything from maternity and paternity leave to increasing the wages so that parents don't have to work two and three jobs, so they're never, you know, and that way they're never around their kids, so it's got to be all of that. It can't be just parents, you've got to be better. It's all of our policies that support families that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I agree completely. We're down to less than about, I think we're down to about a minute left, Jane. Is there anything that is just in your world right now with what you're seeing on ACEs and in your network and the people that you know that is just getting you so excited to be alive right now that you're really pumped up about that you can share with us in the next 30 seconds?
30
seconds. What's the thing you're most excited about?
Well, the thing that I'm most excited about is that people are indeed seeing that this is a it's family, it's community, it's individual, it's organizational. You know, every system and every organization needs to integrate this. You know, we most of us are parents, and we want the best for our kids, and so all that goes across all those areas, and I see that, and that gives me a lot of hope.
Fantastic. Well, Jane, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a champion and coming up with this wonderful idea, and thank you for just what you do in this world. Our world's a better place because of you, and I just applaud you, and thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Greg. This has been wonderful.
And Jane, I can't wait to get to meet you. And if there's ever anything that I can do, you holler, and I will be there for you, I promise. Because ACEs Connection has changed my life. It's changed my life. They're awesome people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We want to also just encourage you to get on acesconnection.com. Go to the right-hand side under, there's a little tab down there that I think you can just push join, and you join, and it's free. Get in there, and let's just see how many people we can get hooked up into this so we can have so many more communities change and all this information to get out into the United States, into the world, around the world. So just join up for that. Also, download the BBS Radio app so you have a straight access to our show each week. We can't wait for you to be here back with us next week. The numbers are just phenomenal. Phenomenal with what Breaking the Silence is doing all around the world. And just thank you for supporting us. And we appreciate you being here each Sunday night. Wherever you're at right now, whatever you're involved in, whatever situation you are in, I want to let you know and I want to encourage you. I want to reach out and grab your hand and let you know you're not alone. There's always, always hope. Be kind to yourself. Be gentle to yourself. Hang in there and hang on to hope. Join us next week right here at 8 p.m. Central Time for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome evening. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.